In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, grant that as we believe her truly to be the Mother of God, we may be helped by her intercession with thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I've been thinking lately that my sermons have gotten a little long, but I was very cheered last Sunday after preaching my sermon in Argentina. Oh, I'm by no means sure they understood everything I had to say. The Argentinian accent is different from the Mexican. The vocabulary is too, and it escapes me. But after Mass, the priest told me, you know, the people loved your sermon because it was only 10 minutes long. And there, the bishops, most of the people have just recently been converted from the Novus Ordo, so it's all new. But there, the Novus Ordo bishops preach seated very comfortably, and at least for an hour or an hour and 15 minutes, and mostly they talk about politics. They're having a presidential election at the end of October, so I guess it was a refreshing change for them. Now, while charity sometimes compels me to comment on current events in the light of Catholic teaching, actually, we're way beyond politics, standard politics in this church. Politics, it occurs to me too, may seem in this season of primaries to remain still a genuinely popular demonstration of the feelings of people. Although I doubt it, you know. I think it's more our masters allowing us, their subjects, to let off a little steam every 4 years before we rubber stamp the chosen candidates. Perhaps, though, in our now rather pagan age, you know you're pagan when Catholics prefer sporting events to the sacrifice of the Mass on Sundays. Well, perhaps sports, though, are the last spontaneous part of society's joy, a joyful demonstration that nobody really planned, that just happened. I think that happens sometimes when some big, the World Series or the Super Bowl, I think it is. If the local team wins, well, then everybody heads to the streets and there's a big celebration all night long, maybe. Well, the other night, I was sitting in the airport in Santiago in Chile waiting for my flight. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I heard cheering. And I'm thinking to myself, why are people cheering this late at night and in an airport? Did somebody's flight finally arrive? Because my flight, as it turned out, ended up being 3 hours late. But they were cheering because the local team had just scored for some sort of a very important soccer game, which they call football. But just think of it, though. Today's feast day actually is because of a spontaneous demonstration of the people. This happened a long time ago in a faraway place, as they say, long before hell coughed up Mohammed and the Mohammedan religion, when paganism and its persecution of Christianity was barely cold and dead, when most of the people who lived in what is today Turkey were Catholics. In the year 428, they turned out one night in Ephesus, the city where the Blessed Mother had lived with St. John for a number of years. They turned out to celebrate the conclusion of a council of bishops held there. And they turned out with torches and with, as you would in a baseball or football game, with a cheer. And the cheer was Theotokos, which is Greek for God-bearer. We would translate that into English, though, as saying Mother of God. And for the first time, most of the words of the end of the Hail Mary were used in public. This is how old they are. Holy Mary, they cried out, Theotokos, or Mother of God, pray for us sinners. The bishops were being escorted in triumph to their lodgings, and all night long the city was lit up for not a team's triumph, but for the triumph of God's team, of the truth, the glory of God and of the Mother of God, because you can never separate the two. So this is the story of the feast day. Like last Sunday's, Father told you about, a great victory that comes after a bitter battle. A battle both for true Catholic doctrine and for Christian civilization. Because guess what? You can't separate them either. They are linked like the two natures in Jesus Christ, divine and human. Remember your catechism? Joined to the one divine person. As is the honor of the Mother and the glory of the Son. In 1931, the Pope, that was Pius XI, who understood very well that if we are to remember our catechism and the people, their doctrine, we must have these beautiful feast days in the church and these devotions. He started this feast day to mark the 15th centenary of Mary's maternity being proclaimed by this Council of Ephesus. This is what happened. The year was 428, and the most important city in the world was Constantinople. They call it Istanbul today. Well, they had a new bishop, and his name was Nestorius, and he was a very good preacher. And on Christmas, of all things, the church was packed. He preaches to the people that our Lord is two persons and not one person. And that, he says, the baby that was born and laid in the crib, the child who had to flee into Egypt for his life, I do not worship. They were just human. That was the heresy. And you mustn't ever say, he said, that Mary is the Mother of God. She's only the mother of the man, not the mother of God. The congregation was shocked, and they listened in silence to this blasphemy. And one monk got up, and he attempted to remove the heretic bishop from his pulpit. But they had really active ushers back then, and so the ushers pulled him down, took him outside, stripped off his habit, beat him up, and sent him out into exile. But the people understood. Back then, their faith was precious. And they weren't, as people are today, confused or afraid to say the simple truth. An emperor have we, but no bishop, because that bishop is a heretic. And it was a layman, a lawyer, who first spoke to challenge the bishop, and he challenged him to a debate to prove him to be wrong. Later on, the bishop stepped forward, led by Saint Cyril, who was an Egyptian bishop of Alexandria, to defend the doctrine of the hypostatic union. Big word. Do you remember that from catechism? Hypostatic union. What does that mean? That means that in Jesus Christ, there's one divine person from all eternity, and that he took a human nature in time. What's a nature? A nature is what makes you to be what you are. All of us have the same human nature. Each angel has its own nature. Angels are so great and splendid. A donkey has the nature of a donkey. A dog has a canine nature. Nature, then what's person? A person is an individual, a rational, meaning able to think or reason, being who has a certain nature. So, in Jesus Christ, you see one divine person and two natures. He has the nature of a man. He has to, so he can die. Remember, our Lord came to this earth to die for our sins. That seems obvious, doesn't it? But the Novus Ordo has not believed that for a long time, I assure you. And our Lord must have a divine nature so that his death would have an infinite value. Mary is the mother of God because her son in time is God from outside of time, from all eternity. This is the doctrine that was defined and defended by the bishops at Ephesus, which we celebrate today. You know, even the Protestants, when they broke away from the church, I mean Luther and Calvin in particular, preached this truth. But then as time went on, the Protestants got to thinking, no, Mother of God? That gives too much honor to Mary. And so they got rid of the title and would only refer to her as Mary and nothing more. And the reason why so many Protestants have lapsed into heresies about Christ and his nature and person is because they started by attacking the mother. But they're inseparable. This is the doctrine, then, on which the incarnation and man's redemption stands. If this doctrine is abandoned, the Pope taught in the 1930s, the whole foundation of Christian Catholic religion falls and comes to ruin. See your privilege as Catholics. The connectedness of things. Everything is linked, one thing to another. Jesus and Mary for Catholics. You can't separate them. Doctrine and devotion. We must believe the doctrine and practice the devotions. Popular morality and church teaching. You might think, well, everyone has a different opinion about religion and morality is something else. But no, that's not true. The reason why we are sliding into paganism today is because the so-called church and pope in Rome are now promoting the most dastardly and shocking immoralities, promoting and pushing them in any way possible, far worse than most people would even imagine. But thanks be to God, there is an antidote that comes from the Mother of God, yes, and it is her rosary. The rosary works two ways, remember, internally and externally. Internally, for us Catholics, when we pray the rosary, it draws us to the truth. And remember, the truth is linked to good living. We proclaim it, the mysteries of the decades. And as we pray them, even though the mind wanders, but still we're thinking about them, aren't we? We're meditating on these doctrines as well as declaring, I believe in these mysteries. Yes, Jesus died. Yes, he's God. Yes, he rose from the dead. So it's very unlikely that any Catholic who perseveres in praying his rosary is going to be led away into error from his faith. Externally, the rosary is a God-given means to heal heresy in others, because heresy is a horrible wound on the soul. And that's why the true popes have always promoted it in history. And all of the victories of the past prove it to be true. Now today, I'm thinking not so much about the past as a slightly future event. Tuesday evening, how wonderful it would be to have sort of a spontaneous demonstration of light and of love and of loyalty towards the Blessed Mother and Jesus Christ. There won't be a whole group of bishops to be escorted. There's just the one, and there's one priest that will be in town with me, and we'll be escorting Our Lady of Fatima. But how wonderful it would be if so many of you would turn out with a rosary and a candle and your faith to pray and to process against the darkness of Rome and the darkness of America today. If there be enough of us, maybe at least that we could encourage each other, and maybe we would assure each other that heaven will hear us. And more than that, when heaven hears us, that the angels will cheer us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.